It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Free Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, too much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Tucker and Rich. No Fred, no Rich. Just Adam Jones, Joe Murray. Here until 10 o'clock, taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We'll get to the Patriots, the latest on Tom Brady, a few developments there over the weekend. I thought Mike Reese had some interesting stuff, and I think it gives you a window into the mindset of the Patriots. What would they do if Tom Brady left? And Mike Reese also said it's likely, beyond likely, that Brady is back. He put the numbers at 80%. That Tom Brady will be back with the Patriots next year. So we'll get into all of that coming up in just a little bit, right? That's a significant number, 80%.
I'd bet on that.
Says Mike Reese. You'd bet the other way. You'd fade
that. 80? No, 80%?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's like you take that every... That's like the Big Ten home teams in basketball this year, in college basketball. They're like 78% winning at home.
Wait, but I don't understand. So you're saying...
No, if he's going to come back and he has 80%, I think Brady's going to be back. If he has it at 80%.
That Brady's going to come back. Mike Reese.
I will bet on it that he comes back.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, so you're going to bet it now.
Yes.
Got it.
Follow. Don't fade.
I would fade that.
Of course you would.
I would fade that.
Some value there.
But anyway, neither here nor there. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. Meanwhile, I want to get to this Michael Silverman piece in the Boston Globe. I think it was yesterday's Globe, the Sunday Globe. Michael Silverman, formerly of the Boston Herald, kind of has taken on this role at the Globe where he's really covering more the business of sports, you know, the marketing, the bottom line, all this stuff, right? Less so the day-to-day, right? The picnic tables that you gotta run around and do all these interviews on. But Silverman covered the Red Sox for a long, long time at the Boston Herald, now at the Boston Globe. And there's a lot of interesting stuff in this story, including more excuse-making from John Henry, which we'll get to. But he starts off with I think, an interesting quote and an interesting reminder about the Red Sox that if they win, people are going to show up. People are going to support them. And I think we all agree with that. But he interviews Eric Bernstein, president of Bernstein Crisis Management, who says sports is in a unique position where if you win, you'll be popular. And it really boils down to that. If they made the right call on this trade, bets, they'll look great in a couple of years. Fans are quick to forgive, but they're not quick to forget. And they're going to be keeping an eye on this trade and what the result is. So the Red Sox need to gamble that we're going to be good and all this will blow over. Okay, so remember that. When the Red Sox are in crisis and attempting to manage that, while they're being raked over the coals on talk radio and maybe they're going to feel it in their wallets a little bit, just remember, if they ultimately agree with this analysis, which I think in sports is a pretty good one, if you come out of it and you're a winning team, you'll win fans back over. You will. I mean, there are some winning teams that are detestable and hateable, and that does happen. But by and large, I'd agree with Bernstein here. Silverman then goes on to detail some of the numbers where the Red Sox are feeling it. Outside of bets and prices images being scrubbed away from the Red Sox website and their ticketing ads, the details of a marketing plan are still fuzzy, Silverman writes. One was in the works before the trade, given the reality of what happened in 2019 and over the offseason. Sam Kennedy said last fall that attendance over 79 games at Fenway late in the year, 79 games, was down almost a full percentage point.
Wow.
0.7%. While Nesson ratings dropped 23% last year.
23%. The B's in two or anything like that either.
I think these are just games. I don't think this has anything to do with Sox appeal or B's in two or anything like that. No. Dining playbook, no.
That is significant.
The day after the Betts trade, Kennedy said overall ticket sales were behind last year's pace, and that's before trading Mookie Betts, by more than 15%, and that the renewal rate of season ticket holders was down from the usual percentage in the high 80s to the low 80s. Okay? So, season ticket holders, down. Overall ticket sales, down. That's when they traded Mookie Betts, not since they've traded Mookie Betts. Ratings were already down last season. John Tomasi, we talked about this with Rochi on Friday night. I should have followed up. John Tomasi wrote last week, the attendance already seems light at spring training. And he acknowledged in the piece that this is school vacation week. This is when a lot of people may be coming down, but it seems very, very light. There's a lack of buzz. The Red Sox do, you know, have a bit of a crisis on their hands when it comes to their image, their brand image. Kennedy says that nobody has asked for a refund on the tickets. Quote, I think you underestimate our fans, said John Henry at the suggestion, and the team will not roll back ticket price increases. Another idea that amused Henry. He said, as a result of making trades, and you could just hear the smirk there, like the snarkiness from John Henry, like, what? We're going to lower prices? We're going to give out reviews because of a trade? Like, you can hear it, right? Like, you can just hear Henry being, as Silverman says, amused at the notion, oh, we made a trade, so now what, we got to refund people? Which, fine, you don't have to refund anyone. Capitalism, it's America, you can raise ticket prices if you want. If people are going to pay for it, people are going to pay for it. But it doesn't sound like people are paying for it right now, John. Mm. Sounds like you're lagging in a lot of those departments. Your ratings are down, your season ticket sales are down, your renewals are down. So figure that out. Maybe you shouldn't be laughing at this, right? Again, capitalism, the people will tell you whether or not they want to pay for it. Silverman also had some interesting details on, remember the Red Sox tweet, their farewell tweet to Mookie Betts?
Yep.
Where they got the crap ratioed out of him? He has good numbers on that. He says the official 33-word tweet announcing the trade generated nearly 2,000 largely negative replies and fewer than 1,000 retweets.
Ooh.
Of the statements the team tweeted from Chairman Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, Chaim Bloom, and John Henry, the principal owner received the harshest ratio, 1,100 to 241, with many replies laced with salty language. 1,100 to 241. People were chirping Henry, telling him to F off and everything else, right? Then you get to the money stuff here from John Henry, the best stuff, and I've saved the best for last. Silverman asked about the luxury tax, about the CBT. And Henry says, you're hung up on the CBT. You see this, and I think the media too, to some extent. Ever since we mentioned that clubs have a tendency to get below the CBT once in a while, it's surprising anyone would think that we outspend every other team, or we will outspend every other team every single baseball season. He said, to me, that's a little surprising. Clubs have to make difficult decisions, and one of the biggest decisions they have to make is, do we potentially let a great player walk for very little compensation? That's one of the decisions you have to make irrespective to the CBT. It has nothing to do with the CBT, he says, which again is silly.
Ugh.
It obviously has something to do with the CBT, and he even goes on to acknowledge that it is an element of this trade. So Henry did kind of walk that back a little bit, but he says it has nothing to do with the CBT. You're hung up on the CBT. What? You expect us to have the highest payroll in baseball every year? Yeah, kind of, John. You have the highest tickets in baseball. So yeah, you have a loyal fan base. You should be, if not the highest spending team, one of the highest spending teams every single year, year in and year out. You don't get to dip. You're the Boston Red Sox. Yes, we expect you to spend money every single year. The Red Sox, Silverman says, are a subsidiary of Fenway Sports Group, a global conglomerate that includes Liverpool FC, and has grown to $6.6 billion enterprise, ranked by Forbes as the third largest sports group in the world. You're the third largest in the world, John, so yeah, we expect you to spend. $6.6 billion, John, we expect you to spend. The perception the Red Sox or FSG could afford to keep Betts, sign everyone, and pay all the penalties with ease is not valid, said Kennedy. Quote, first of all, Fenway Sports Group is doing great. It's a collection of companies that John and Tom and Mike Gordon and their partners own, but each individual entry truly operates independently. The Red Sox have to make the best decisions for the Red Sox and how we operate and how we've operated in 19 years. Kennedy says the characterization of this financial move as a payroll slash is misleading. And he then goes on to detail that they have spent into the CBT 10 times in the last 17 years, and that the Red Sox lead 29 baseball clubs in payroll the last 2 years and has never been lower than fifth since this ownership group took place 18 years ago. I'd say one is good. I'd say five is too low. That's what I would say to Sam Kennedy. Five's too low.
So here's my deal, okay? I don't like to go to your park because your seats suck, okay? In the summertime, I don't want to watch you because you're not entertaining. And if you're not going to spend money or bet or go up to the tax and trade your MVP, I'm probably not going to watch you, and I'll probably watch preseason football than watch your product. So I to me, none of this is surprising to me. 23% down on Nesson, that's big. I'll tell you this. Sometimes I just like to put the baseball game in the background just to have it. I'm sure the radio ratings suck too. And I'm sure we've seen that locally here, but baseball's a dying sport. Maybe the talk about this cheating has maybe helped it a little bit. Some of the stuff happening with these other teams, the fact that we're discussing it is helping the game. But as far as the Red Sox go, trading your MVP, moving on from David Price, who was controversial, bringing a guy who could bring controversy in Verdugo here is interesting. Chris Sale, you don't know about his future. The manager's out the door. We don't know what the penalty is yet. It could be interesting early on here. But again, to your point earlier, they have to get off to a fast start. And if they don't, they're going to lose me in, I don't know, April, May.
I mean, I'm already not paying attention. I'm already not paying attention to them in terms of watching their games. I'm paying attention to the news. We'll talk about all the crap with this team because that's fun. But their games? No, I'm not going to watch this team. They basically told you don't watch. They gave up on the season before it even started. Half the team isn't even at spring training on time. Chris Sale didn't show up on time. Verdugo's not going to be ready for opening day. And it's not like Sale was late. Again, if you missed this earlier, Sale was out with pneumonia. Bogarts has an ankle issue. Like, half the team's not even ready to go. They basically told you don't watch in 2020. And if you do, you're a sucker because we're raising prices on you. So shame on you if you watch.
And one thing about the Adam Jones program, which is on, well, gets pushed back to 7 to midnight, you go up against a lot of these games. So you really can't even talk about the games. But when you do, it's usually something that they sucked at or did something terrible or ran into an out or something bad. There's never anything really good to talk about when it comes to the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, that's more of a me thing than anything else. But yes, I mean, that is true. I look, trust me, I do go against all these Red Sox games. I love they're taking the year off. Good. I love they're not even trying in 2020. Good for the Adam Jones Show. 617-779-0985. Yeah, everybody who doesn't want to listen to your crappy team can come right on over. Good. I'll accept that with open arms. Good. I'm happy about that. Again, we'll get to your feedback. 617-779-0985. And let's get to the latest on the Patriots. Mike Reese with some good stuff on Tom Brady and his future next.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a big commitment. Sitting here laying here 3 days after the year, getting my Achilles worked on my thumb. When you go, what are we doing this for, you know? What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
Tom Brady from Facebook Watch. Tom V time, a few Super Bowls ago. Adam Jones, Joe Murray in for Toucher and Rich. Here on a Monday morning with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. When it comes to Tom Brady, his future is obviously a massive story here in Boston. Enough where we'll take a bit of a Red Sox breather. Though I do always like these, Joe, at Adam Jones 98.5, at Joey Murr. Jones, why did the Yankees reset their tax line? If you ran the Red Sox, they'd be bankrupt in a week. They're borderline unbankruptable. By the way, they make money hand over fist over there. Valued at $6.6 billion, third largest sports group in the world, according to Michael Silverman. So borderline unbankruptible. But that Yankees analogy is so garbage. Such garbage. Do people even know what they're talking about when they say the Yankees reset their payroll? Because they did reset it. You know how they reset it, Joe? You know how the Yankees reset their payroll?
Well, I think they made a bunch of trades.
By trading a couple of relievers at the trade deadline. They didn't trade an MVP candidate a year before he was due to hit the market. They traded a couple of relievers, Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman. Relievers, not MVPs. And they did it at the trade deadline to reset the luxury tax. Okay? They didn't trade their best player. When did I miss it? Did the Yankees trade their best player to get under the luxury tax? No. I think the luxury tax is stupid and the Red Sox getting under it is stupid. And I think it's farcical because the penalties really aren't that steep. They're really not that steep. The Ringer had a piece on it last week. Go read it if you want. Look at the actual money that it would cost Sean Henry this year if they were over 220. It's something like $10 million. It's not a lot of money, okay? It's not. So it's a joke, first of all. But if you believe it and you wanna give these billionaires the excuse, go ahead. Dip under by trading your crappy players, your other players. Crappy's too strong with Aroldis Chapman and Andrew Miller.
Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Exactly. Trade the guy who's $11 million when you can replace him with Kevin Pillar for four and change. And they're basically the same player, okay? Although Pillar's better defensively. They're basically the same player, right? Mm-hmm. Trade your relievers. Trade your roster fodder to get under 208. Don't trade your best player. So the Yankees analogy is a horrible one. The Yankees did get under the luxury tax. They did it smartly, unlike the Red Sox. But anyway, we're taking a Red Sox breather here. I didn't mean to get all hot and bothered there.
No, it's okay. I mean, people want to defend the Yankees here, you know. They did it the other way.
No, they're defending the Red Sox by saying other teams did it, which other teams did do it, but they did a lot smarter than you did. They traded relievers. You traded an MVP like idiots a year ahead of time. The Yankees did it at the trade deadline. So anyway, Mike Reese, when we're talking about a big story in Boston, even bigger than the Red Sox, maybe there's not as much in the news right this second, but when the story happens with Brady either coming back or leaving, it will be bigger than anything that happened on the Red Sox. Tom Brady and the Patriots are bigger than the Red Sox. We all know that, especially when the Red Sox are basically taking the year off. Mike Reese, in his Sunday notes, which I recommend as must read every weekend, he says it's officially 1 month until the start of March 16th in the legal tampering window when teams can negotiate with representatives for upcoming free agents, which narrows the timeline for Brady, Kraft, and Belichick to come together and have the all-important meeting to set the table for whether Brady will be back in New England. The Patriots are expected to seek clarity on Brady's intentions before the start of free agency on March 18th because his decision will have a significant trickle-down on the team's overall plans. With no movement to date, I'm sticking with 80% odds on Brady's return at this time.
Yeah.
So have you already laid down a bet on that, Joe? Mike Reese says 80% Brady's back. You're taking that to the bank. Literally, you're taking that to the bank.
I am because I'm kind of sick of people kind of trolling where he'll end up. It's like,
why is that trolling?
I don't know. Like I heard Detroit last week, and okay. I laughed. Like to me, it sounds like it's about where he can win.
Yeah.
Not about, like, where he could
go. No, but I mean, so Detroit seems like a far-fetched option. Yeah. I hadn't heard
that.
The Raiders,
I mean,
Yeah, but, like, why is that trolling to say Brady could go somewhere else or mention the other places he could go?
Well, I think some of the places, like Miami, that makes me laugh.
Why?
I don't, because the owner said himself that he doesn't think that they're in rebuilding mode.
So what?
He wants to win!
He doesn't want to tamper.
Well, they can on March 16th.
I know, right. When he wasn't asked on March 16th, was he? He was asked in like January, so he doesn't want to tamper. He was asked at the Super Bowl. Mm. So he doesn't want to
tamper,
come out and say...
Tamper away.
He doesn't want to
tamper
come out...
away.
No. Public. He doesn't want to publicly tamper. Oh, yeah, we're going to be in on Brady. You can't say that. So, no, I don't really even get why Brady would be interested in us. Kern's written about this. Like, he is throwing people off the scent, I think. I just don't think Miami's a laughable destination.
I just want to know.
You think Dallas is a destination, right?
Well, it's not laughable. It's a great fit for him.
I don't think it's laughable in that the Cowboys could be in on him, but just it would be so stupid if they were in on him because Dak Prescott's already a better quarterback.
So why
right now, not for his career, obviously. Don't look at me like that. Dak Prescott right now is a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
Long-term investment.
No.
Dak is the answer.
Not long-term. This year, in 2020, this past year, I would rather have had Dak Prescott as my quarterback than Tom Brady in 2019. In 2020, who would you rather have as your quarterback?
Probably Dak Prescott.
Absolutely Dak Prescott.
The weapons, though, Jones. The Patriots might go out and get weapons this year. It wasn't Brady's fault last year. It was the receivers that he had in place.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with that to an extent. I don't think Brady had as much help as he's had in the past. I think he had help. I don't think he's had as much help as he's had in the past, but Brady's dropped off. 80%, though, that Brady's back.
I like it.
Seems awfully high.
You know what's funny?
Yeah, well, I bet all Patriots fans like it. Does it not seem high? That doesn't seem high to you?
Seems high. Listen, last week I got my, new season's coming around. Season ticket holder invoices should be out soon. I want to know before that invoice comes to my house if Brady is coming back or not.
Why?
If he's not, I don't know if I want the tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
So you may not keep Patriots tickets based solely on Brady.
We just talked about the Red Sox and their decline. I have season tickets, but they're in people I know who've had been on the waiting list since like 2001.
Sure.
To get so they're at like 120% season ticket holders. The Red Sox are going down. If Tom Brady's not back with the Patriots next year, I guarantee some people don't.
Okay, but you, I bet some people don't. You're one of those people?
Probably.
So are you a Brady fan or are you a Patriots fan?
I'm a Patriots fan. Well,
doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you're a Tom Brady fan.
Well, it's built around Brady.
Yeah, well, I
see other quarterbacks in the league and they suck. I see this guy and I want to, you know, I think they have a chance.
I didn't realize you might get rid of your season tickets if Brady didn't come
back. If Brady doesn't come back, I'm considering not re-upping.
What does that mean?
I'm considering possibly not extending the invitation to come back.
Right, but that's just not a yes or a no. You're considering, but you
considering it.
But do you think you'll actually get rid of them?
Who are they going to bring in?
I don't know.
What, Jake Fromm from State Farm or whatever? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Who's going to be the quarterback? If it's not him.
Jake from State Farm. So I do want to get into the big picture, like what the Patriots should do to replace Tom Brady and what fans want. Do you want?
What should they
like
do
Jake,
this year?
Hang on, just wait a minute. Do you want a Jake Fromm type? Do you want a veteran type? I just didn't realize that Joe was in this much of a crisis. I didn't realize Joe was such a Tom Brady fanboy that he would give up his season tickets and not watch the Patriots anymore.
This year, it's Tom Brady. This upcoming season,
it's
Tom Brady. Well, you go out and get him receivers.
Well, if he decides to leave, the Patriots gave away the option to make sure that they could hold on to Tom Brady. They decided to give that up. So now it's up to Tom Brady. It's not up to them anymore.
And they'll lose cap money if they don't do it before the 18th. Very upset about this, actually, to be honest with you.
I'm amazed. I didn't realize you were such a Brady guy.
It's not I'm a Brady honk or anything like that.
Well, it kind of sounds that way.
I feel like no other quarterback can come here and win. That's what I feel like.
Define win. The Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't want to say no other quarterback could, but like out of likely options, you're not winning the Super Bowl next year. I'll agree with that. They could get to the playoffs, though, I don't like your comparison to the Red Sox. You're like, oh, yeah, well, it's like the Red Sox. No. The Red Sox are a legitimate waste of time next year, so I wouldn't watch them, and they probably won't make the playoffs. The Patriots? I think the Patriots can make the playoffs
Stidham
next year.
If Stidham was the quarterback, I would still watch every Sunday. I just don't know if I want to pay for the season tickets. I'd rather watch from my couch.
I find that interesting.
Yeah.
What year did you get your season tickets?
Back in 1992.
So before Tom Brady. Gift.
When they signed. Well, actually, yes. It was when they got Bill Parcells and Drew Bledsoe.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe was pretty good.
I don't know. I just
went to a couple Super Bowls.
I thought you were harder core than this, Joe.
I am hardcore.
Well,
but I don't want this year. It's Tom Brady or no one else. That's they have nothing else lined up. If Brady Brady has the choice to go wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
And he has that right. And they gave him that right. But if he goes somewhere else, there is nobody else out there that is going to get them to a Super Bowl right now.
What if they draft and develop a good kid? What if they draft a kid this year?
It's not going to happen this year.
Why?
They're not going to win a Super Bowl this year.
Why? Okay. Well, I don't know that they're going to win a Super Bowl this year either. I'm not saying I'd wager on that. But why do you? What? Bill's been pretty good at identifying quarterbacks.
He has
hasn't
been
he?
Very good at it. And
so
that's why
do you rule out that he couldn't identify a young kid, whether it's already
year,
on the roster in Stidham or
I
another
want
player
them possible with a possible chance to win the Super Bowl next year?
Okay. They didn't have much of a chance last year, Joe.
Well,
Tom Brady was here. They almost did.
I don't know if they don't lose to the stupid Dolphins. They get a bye, and then who knows what happens?
Yeah. Well, they lost to the Dolphins, which means they weren't all that close to winning a Super Bowl. Now, were they?
Jones, you're correct.
Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, that was much.
But they went to a playoff game, and I got to go at home, and they lost, and I yelled, and I want to go next year with them with a chance to win.
Okay, I'm just telling you, I just don't think
they could win with Philip Rivers or Tyrod Taylor or whoever. What's the Red Rifle? Him? No, those guys they are out on all those other quarterbacks.
Yeah, so I'm really out, and I'm happy you brought up the name Philip Rivers. I'm really out on a veteran quarterback. Period. I'm really out on a veteran quarterback. Period. And I don't know the answer to this. Is Matt Cassel plugged in with the Patriots? I know he used to play here. It would stand to reason that he's plugged in. He knows Tom Brady. He played under Josh McDaniels. He played under Bill Belichick. It would stand to reason that he's plugged in. I hope to God he's not. And this is not to besmirch his reporting or anything like this. I hope Matt Cassel is not plugged in. I hope Matt Cassel doesn't know what he's talking about because he seems to be championing Philip Rivers as a fit here.
No.
Which I hate. Let's get to that after the headlines here from Joe Murray.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What do you think Tom Brady will do? This is up to him.
I think he's going to see what's out there for himself. As a matter of fact, I know he will. But I don't think he's going to have to wait till March 16th because you've got agents, you've got talk going behind the scenes, and I think he has an idea on the teams that are highly interested in him.
Teddy Bruschi knows he's taking visits, Joe. He knows it. That, to me, does not sound like 80% back. And I say, Mike Reese saying 80% that Brady's back. That sounds high to me, but Reese is plugged in over there. I respect the reporting of Mike Reese. That's just a big number. That is a big number, especially when Reese acknowledges that there's been no contract negotiations. It's 8:39. Adam Jones, Joe Murray, taking you up until 10 o'clock here on a Monday morning with your phone call, 617-779-0985. What do the Patriots do if Brady goes? Because if Brady's back, I think it's obvious. It's what Joe said. Surround Brady with talent. But, you know, actually this time bring in talent. Don't let Tom say, hey, I want Mohamed Sanu, who Joe is the best I've ever seen, on 3rd and 6 at picking up 4 yards. If you want to punt 2 yards short of a first down, Mohamed Sanu is the greatest. He is the best. On 3rd and 6, that guy will get you 4 yards short of the sticks like you read about.
And he sucks on 4th down.
He is on the punt returns, you mean?
No,
is that what you're talking about?
Down,
oh, just on 4th down in general.
Like 4th down.
Not much of a punt returner either, is he?
He's the slowest guy I've ever seen in my life. I'm not a Sanu. And you know what? I was wrong. Swing and miss. I thought Sanu would make an impact in that Tennessee game.
I think we all thought. In the Tennessee game. Oh, I thought he. I thought
like as bad as he played. I thought at least
we all thought he would make
Logan
an impact
Ryan.
At some point. I thought he'd make an impact at some point. I don't know that I was wagering.
He
on
identified
the game,
that guy over Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep.
Over yep. I don't know anybody yep. else.
Yeah. Whatever other receivers.
And they gave up a second round pick.
Yeah. So that. Here's where that becomes relevant when, you know, you want to draft a quarterback. When you want to move around and manipulate the draft board, you have a first-round pick and 3/3. And you can trade those conditional picks now. So all three of those third-round picks are tradable, but they don't have a pick in the second round. So that makes it a little tougher to move around the board for what might be a sweet spot to go get a quarterback. Like, the Patriots aren't going to get Burrow. They're not going to get Tagovailoa. They're not going to get Herbert. So those other quarterbacks, Jordan Love, Jake Fromm, Jacob Eason, like that end of the first, second round is kind of where those guys are going to go, and the Patriots don't really have a lot of draft capital.
And I read yesterday that they want to go more mobile.
Okay, so here's what I want to get to. Reese wrote other items here, and Joe just mentioned one of them, that if Brady were to go, Mike Reese, and I do believe that this is informed. Like, I believe this is from, you know, his history with the Patriots and maybe talking to people over there. Mike Reese had a couple items on what they might do. He said, if Brady departs in free agency, my opinion is the Patriots' most likely approach would be to initially stand pat at quarterback and roll with Stidham and Cody Kessler before letting the veteran market settle and then possibly looking for a lower-priced option at a later date. It would be a chance for a financial reset with Stidham to earn a base salary of $585 and Kessler at $820. And the team having about $29 million in cap space to devote to other positions of need. He also wrote what you were talking about, and he made the analogy to the Chargers. They're comfortable, supposedly, with going with Tyrod Taylor in L.A., which I don't buy for a second. And Reese makes the point that Taylor is, you know, a quarterback who moves well, and that's more valuable now than it's ever been to keep teams on the cutting edge. This is one area, writes Reese, where Stidham also excels. While no one is definitively saying that Stidham would either be the heir apparent if Brady departs, his ability to move would open up new aspects of the offense. That's what the Patriots should do at quarterback. If Brady goes, it should be Stidham and another young kid. Whether they draft him in the first round, they can't draft him in the second round right now, third round, day three, whatever. It should be Stidham and another kid competing for the job. I don't want some also-ran veteran, Joe. I don't want that. I don't want Phillip Rivers. Who Matt Castle wrote about over the weekend, that he may fit the Patriots as a bridge quarterback. He even went on to detail that some of the offense that Rivers played in San Diego, slash LA, with the Chargers rather, Ken Wisenhunt's offense, is very similar in quote-unquote offensive scheme and has similar language to the Patriots. I would hate if they're just plugging in random veteran quarterback. Yeah, vomit indeed. I want to see a young quarterback come in here and maybe compete for it. Don't just hand Stidham the job. You don't have to do that. I'd rather that, though, than the veteran, like, Philip Rivers. So I hope to God Matt Cassel isn't plugged in. He probably is. He probably knows things. But I hope on this one he's wrong, because the last quarterback I want here is Philip Rivers throwing killer interceptions at the end of games.
So would you rather them take a flyer on a Marcus Mariota or draft Jordan Love?
100%. 100% draft a quarterback.
Even if it was Jordan Love?
Sure, draft a quarterback. Okay. I would just rather have them bring in new reset, new kid. Marcus Mariota has Lord knows how many bad habits that he's learned in however many different offenses. And no, I don't want to rework him and bring him in. No. Okay. I mean, would Mariota be an okay flyer? Sure. But what would I rather have them do? I'd rather have them draft a kid, especially in the first round. And I'm not Jordan Love's biggest fan as a quarterback. I think he's pretty raw. But if they identify him and they like him, I'm okay with them drafting a quarterback in the first round, even a quarterback that I don't love.
I'd like Fromm just for the simple fact that he's big game experience and pocket passer and has played with a lot of skill guys. Eason, I'm still a little concerned about. But the only other guy that's like real mobile, and that's like later on in the draft, is Perkins. How about Perkins from Virginia?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jalen Hurts.
I see him as a running back.
No, he's going to play quarterback.
Really?
He's a Heisman finalist last year. He's going to play quarterback.
I mean, going to Oklahoma definitely helped
him. Jalen Hurts right now is a better quarterback than Taysom Hill. Right now.
Wow.
I don't even think that's a controversial statement. People think Taysom Hill is a quarterback. Jalen Hurts is more of a quarterback than Taysom Hill.
I've come around on Hill. I hated the gimmick thing with him. They went away from him in the playoffs and, you know, hurt them. Or hurt the Saints big time. Yeah,
They didn't go away from him in the playoffs. That was like all of their offense in the playoffs.
That's what I mean. But once they stopped going to him.
They went away from it at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I followed. Yep.
Breeze threw a stupid interception. But, yeah, it's a good point. I didn't even really consider Hurts. I'm just thinking of other guys that are, you know, Bryce Perkins is a kid that's mobile. But, yeah, Hurts. Winning system, right? Alabama guy, finished his last year at Oklahoma, threw the ball very well, had good receivers. Better receivers there than Brady did here.
Yeah, I mean, that's
CD Lamb.
That's true. Better receivers at Oklahoma than what he has here. That's true. 617-779-0985. What is the approach? Would you like someone like Philip Rivers? I hope to God, again, Matt Cassel doesn't know what he's talking about. And I don't mind if the Patriots get younger and more athletic at quarterback. If Brady's gone, that's what they should do. That's what they should do. We'll continue with your feedback coming up. Like I said, I do want to get to, something Robert Kraft said. Technically over the weekend, it aired on the E60 piece, the Drew Bledsoe piece. And I think it applies to Tom Brady. We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
His life had been saved. But while he was recovering, football would have to wait. And his backup would get a chance.
I said, "Mom, it's so great. Now Tommy's going to get to play, and people are going to find out how good he is, and some really good team is going to pick him up. It's going to be great for him, Mom."
I really like this kid. He's never going to be a starter. He's going to be Jason Garrett or one of those guys that's just going to be around forever. He'll be a good backup quarterback, you know, for a decade plus.
He's going to be the guy who stays out of the way, keeps the Patriots competitive until Drew Bledsoe returns to take his job. But Brady never saw it that way, and he told a couple of players on that team, he's not getting the job back. And they started laughing because they thought he was so cocky, but he meant it. I'm not giving the job back to Bledsoe. It's mine.
A little Michael Holly action there at the end. Drew Bledsoe also heard there in the E60 special. And I imagine Bledsoe is going to get flack for that. I said this, Joe. We played that clip previously on our show at night. And I think Bledsoe is going to get a lot of flack for, you thought Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, was Jason Garrett? You thought he'd be a backup who hung around for 10 years? Do people realize that's a compliment? Like, do people realize that's a compliment? The fact that Bledsoe looked at Brady and was like, oh, this guy's going to hang around for a long time. That's more than most people thought of Tom Brady. Now, obviously, Bledsoe wasn't right, and he should have taken the challenge from Brady more seriously and all these other things. I think that's fair criticism of Bledsoe. But he saw a little something in Brady, thinking that he'd hang around the NFL for 10 years like Jason Garrett, and he'd be a backup for a long time. That's more than most of the league thought of Tom Brady. You know, the league thought so much of Tom Brady, they took Gino Carmazzi and Tim Rattay before they took him, right? That's how much that the league thought of Tom Brady. Spencer Wynn, I think, was another one of those names. I'm trying to remember all the...
Spurgeon.
Spurgeon Wynn, thank you. Not Spencer Wynn. Sorry.
The Brady Six.
Yes, I'm trying to remember all the names from that group. Mark Bulger in there. I think Mark Bulger was in there. Yeah. Chris Redman, I want to say.
Redman.
And Penning.
Spurgeon Wynn.
Pennington? No. Oh, God. No, it wasn't Pennington.
Well, Tim Rattay's definitely right.
Oh, whatever. Don't worry about it. We'll come up with this. We'll get to the bottom of this at some point. But I look at that and I say, that's actually a compliment from Bledsoe. But that's not the reason we're playing that for you. I actually want to get to another quote that Robert Kraft had in that piece about Bledsoe. But I do think it applies to Tom Brady. We'll do that coming up. First, let's get to some phone calls here. 617-779-0985. JP in North Providence has been waiting patiently on the Red Sox. If you got Patriots phone calls, you can jump into. Go ahead, JP.
I got everything. You know, I'm glad it's 2018. Angry Jones with Nick Cattle's morning. I got to drive to work on a holiday. Whoa. And I sell khakis for a living. Maybe Jake State Farm will come in and buy a pair, you know?
Yep, it's a good day to buy. It's a good day to buy stuff. President's Day is a good day to buy stuff, I've been told, JP.
Three things quick. First of all, I got a Murray's musing. Can we stop slapping hands after free throws? I hate it. Hit him in the back of the head like DiNozzo when they miss a free throw. I can't stand that, Joe. It drives me nuts.
Well, what if they missed? What do you want them to do? Nothing?
I just said hit him in the back of the head.
Oh, okay.
Hit him in the back of the head like Gibbs with DiNozzo and say, hey, you're getting paid $5 million. Make the damn free throws. I can't stand it. That's the first thing.
Okay, number one. Okay.
Second thing, we better get a running quarterback. We don't have an offensive line. We're going to lose Tooney. Wynn's going to get hurt third game in. If we don't get a left tackle,
Cannon's retired, according to reports, which I'm unconfirmed as well.
We need a running quarterback. Do not get me Phillip Rivers. I'll be outside with a sign, Joe. I will buy your tickets and sell them because you better sell them 10 cents on the dollar. Like trading places and get rid of them 5 cents on the dollar.
Okay, what's your Red Sox point?
You know, Willie Mays was a 5-tool player, great player. I'm not saying Mookie Betts is Willie Mays, but he's a generational player. Oh, he's too small. He can't hit for power as he gets older. It's Fenway Park. It's about 220 to the left field wall. Anybody can hit for 80 games in Fenway. You go get rid of one of the best players and exciting players in baseball, and I got to watch Mendoza line Bradley for $10 million. I am so... When I heard that, they got nothing. Yes, they got rid of David Price. Whoop-de-doo. I can't believe it. Sign the guy. Forget the salary cap. This is Boston. This is not Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean,
what are they going to put a catwalk in next?
Yeah, JP, I agree with all of that. You're the Red Sox. So this idea that, well, we've never been lower than fifth in spending. You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be lower than fifth in spending. You should be first or second. Yeah, that's what you should be. You're the third most valuable sports group in the world, right? In the world is what Silverman had in that piece. So I don't see why you wouldn't be at the top of the league in spending. That's what you should be. So it's a joke. The luxury tax is a joke. And I would push back on something JP said. You don't have to support the team. You don't have to watch them. He's like, oh, I got to watch them. I got to watch Jackie Brown. No, you don't. You don't have to watch them. And I would encourage you not to. 617-779-0985. That other piece here from Robert Kraft in the Drew Bledsoe E60. And I think it's an interesting comment to pass along because he's ostensibly talking about Bledsoe, but in reality, it applies to Brady. Kraft said, I was heartbroken because I felt the connection and I didn't think it was fair on a human basis, meaning when Bledsoe lost the job, they didn't get the job back, that Brady took it and ran with it. Drew came to me and expressed his frustration. I went and met with Bill, and Bill explained to me his thinking, and I could have stepped in, Joe, especially at that time. I had deep discussions with Bill, and I was bothered, but I trusted Bill to make the final decision as he's more capable than I am, although emotionally it was very difficult. So Robert Kraft did not step in at that point, did not step in and overrule Bill Belichick. He could have. Drew ran up the back stairs. Drew went right to Robert Kraft and vented and let all his emotions go. We know Tom Brady does that. Do we trust Robert Kraft to stay out of this one? Do we trust Robert Kraft to do what he did in 2001 and stay out of it? Because, let's be honest, the last couple of years with Brady, last two, three, 4 years with Brady, he hasn't stayed out of it.
Well, I think the Garoppolo thing was right. I mean, I think they made the right decision moving on from Garoppolo.
So I do too, but I don't like that the owner made the call. Yeah. I think I agree. I think it was the right call, but I don't think, look, the owner can do whatever they want. It's their team, but I want the owner out of football decisions. That should they should have, they being the Kraft, should have let Bill make that decision.
Yep, and I think Bill should be able to make this decision. I think Bill will make this decision, but it's going to be on their terms. This is not I like it if maybe this tampering period was a little bit more than 2 days. Like, if they wanted to start this thing on March 1st.
The tampering period, this has been going on since probably the season, Joe. Like, yeah. The legal tampering window is only 48 hours, but teams have been probably reaching out to Brady and his through back channels, his representation, probably since almost the entire football season.
But my whole thing is, if this 2 years...
So tampering's been going on for months.
But 2 years, $60 million to go to the Raiders or whatever, like, I don't think the Patriots should even consider that. You know, even
Joey's gone.
Well, what I'm saying is,
if you're not going to give him 2 years, if you're not going to give him at least 250, he's gone.
I don't know how they're going to work the cap. Could they give him a longer deal and move money around or whatever?
I mean, the answer to that is yes.
So if that's the case, like, and it comes down to guaranteed money, the Patriots can match anybody. The whole thing is this: like, if Tom Brady's not going to get the players to make him successful, then this is not the place for him. And that's really, to me, that's what it comes down to. I don't think it's about Belichick's decision or Kraft's decision. If the Patriots aren't going to invest in the offense and make the team better, it's not a fit for Tom Brady. If they're not going to go out and get an A.J. Green or some sort of tight end or draft guys, Tom Brady can't play with what they have. He's not. You said Tom Brady wasn't a good quarterback, or there were other better quarterbacks than him.
Old Tom Brady could have. Old Tom Brady elevates the roster. Present day Tom Brady doesn't, which tells you he slipped.
But in 28,
old Tom Brady would have elevated the roster he had last year. Tom Brady would have made it work with Edelman and Sanu and N'Keal Harry and James White in the passing game, even no tight end. Yep. Old Tom Brady would have made that work. New Tom Brady, age 42, Tom Brady losing half a step, maybe losing a full step. He can't make that work anymore.
See, I think they did it in 18, right? They ran the football. They had a fullback. They played defense. This year, they couldn't run the football. The offensive line, that's what they need to be better at, running the football and actually having guys who can make catches. They didn't have that this year. And I think Brady was frustrated on the field. It leaked towards everyone else. The guy doesn't come to OTAs. That doesn't help, right? He doesn't want to work with young receivers. The veterans can't figure it out. So, like, to me, I think it's more about what's around Tom Brady to be successful. And maybe that's why him looking at other teams, it makes a fit. Dallas looks good. You know, Oakland, maybe. But the Chargers, no. I know they got some nice pieces there, but their ownership stinks.
I mean, you know who has arguably the best supporting cast is Tampa. I don't know that I see Brady going to Tampa, but if it's about the supporting cast, Tampa has a good supporting cast.
Is their running game great? I mean, that's...
No, but their receivers are awesome.
Yeah. Like, Melvin Gordon would be interested.
Right. And they have money to burn, so they can find a running back. Go draft a running back. Go sign a running back. You can do that.
But for me, it's more about what will they do. If the Patriots make a case for them saying, well, we're going to try to get this guy, and that guy, I think Tom Brady stays. That's where the 80%
I think Tom Brady knows that Robert Kraft is emotional, and Robert Kraft can make an emotional decision. He's done it before with Brady. He almost did it with Bledsoe. In Kraft's own words, he almost did it with Bledsoe. He ultimately stayed out of it, but he almost did, and he thought about doing it, and he could have done it. Will Robert Kraft stay out of this? Will this be a Belichick decision and a Brady decision?
He has to. I think he's already put it out there that they've tried.
I don't know that he will. I think he should. I don't know that he will. It's a tough one. It's a big decision. You know, you talk about the PR and how the Red Sox handle PR. This one's going to stick to the Krafts. So that's a hard thing to stay out of and completely keep your hands clean of. 617-779-0985. Joe Murray with all the latest in your Hub headlines. We'll get back to your phone calls and the Red Sox next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win, with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.